of the story. And you can go ahead and put this verse up, chapter 12, 1 Kings 12, 1. We are going to read through 1 through 14 here. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all of Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned to Egypt. He returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went back to speak with Rehoboam. "Your father was a hard master," they said. "Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects." Verse 5. Rehoboam answered, "Give me 3 days to think this over, then come back for my answer." And so the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father, Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects." Servanthood gives loyalty. Servanthood births loyalty in people. Verse 8, "But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors." "What is your advice?" he asked them. "How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father?" Verse 10, the young men replied, "This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's wrist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." Let me just stop there for just a second. Here is an instant of just foolishness on Rehoboam's part. A lack of maturity, a lack of foresight. I would even say a lack of humanity almost to a degree on his part. And so he was not careful with who was influencing him. And in church, in life, do we not have to be careful with who we allow to influence our hearts? Because here is an instance where he had an opportunity to get wise counsel from trusted advisors in a manner that he knew would benefit not only him, but the entire country. But instead, he forsakes that and goes to those who influence him that would lead him astray, that their sight was not nearly as large as it should have been, or that they were even talking that it was. An instance of foolishness. We have to be careful of who we allow to influence in our lives. There are those that we allow and we let into our inner circle. We let them into kind of our hearts and our lives, and that they can have sway and influence in our lives. And that's a good thing. Advice and counsel is a wise thing. But wiser than that is careful of who we allow in there. And so Rehoboam ignores that, neglects that, and is really foolish in that manner. Verse 12. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, I heard you, Chrissy. "My father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." Didn't the plot just get real thick, okay? The antagonist is kind of saying, all right, you guys wanted equality and fairness and justice. Well, away with that. They're kind of the English in the American Revolution, right? You want taxation with representation, then there's no way. I'm going to even tax you more. And so Jeroboam, of course, in this instance, is going to do something to kind of counteract that. The plot just got real thick. And the fifth thing that movie reviewers look at is the resolution. And the resolution is found here in 1 Kings 12, verse 16. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, okay, all of Israel, everyone was pretty much on board with this. They responded, "Down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David." So the people of Israel returned home, but Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the town of Judah. And so the nation of God fractures at this moment. It's just a really intense moment in the movie, okay, that's going on here. The nation of God that was blessed by God, that had a covenant with God, that had a working relationship, almost a business contract with God. God has said, I'll be faithful to you if you're faithful to me. That covenant and the nation that upheld that covenant is broken at this moment because their lack of unity. And you can go ahead and put the map up there, and it'll kind of give you a little bit of a visual here of what's going on. And so Rehoboam is from the tribe of Judah. And so he is ruling over the southern, what's called the southern kingdom here. And so the larger kingdom, the northern kingdom here, follows Jeroboam. And so it ends up becoming two tribes follow Rehoboam. It's Judah and the tribe of Benjamin break off. And the rest of the 10 tribes jump up there with Jeroboam. And so Jeroboam has the larger kingdom. But Judah, of course, has Jerusalem. And the capital of Jerusalem was held within that tribe. And so the southern kingdom is Judah, made up of Judah and Benjamin. The northern kingdom is everybody else called Israel. And those are the tribes unhappy with Solomon's way of ruling and is led by Jeroboam. The sixth thing that movie critiquers and reviewers look at when they're reviewing a movie is the theme. And the upper story theme, that God has a plan to get us back, that God keeps his promises, that God's grace and mercy were faithful to Abraham, to Moses, to David, and their households. Church, I hope you understand that God doesn't want us to just sit back, and God doesn't just sit back and condemn people. That there is constantly a chase that is going on with God. The moment that we walk away from God, the moment that we ignore God, God begins to pursue us. God begins to pursue those that he's lost. It's like the shepherd that goes after the one. He is in pursuit of a relationship with us. And so even though these tribes have kind of done a bad thing and broken off the relationship with each other and with him, God begins something that's so unique and something only a loving and merciful God can do. He pursues his lost children. His mercy and his grace pursues them, even though they want nothing to do with him. There's no sin in your life, past, present, or future, that has more power than the love of Christ. There is nothing in your life, past, present, or future, that can keep you from the love or the grace of Christ. And so we see in this instance, as they are churning away, and the Israelites do something so foolish, even though Jeroboam was given a sign by God, even though he was prophesied over, even though there was a plan set in place, Jeroboam decided to do his own thing. And even though he had heard from God so clearly what his destiny would be, he turns away from it. We all have an opportunity to completely ignore God's voice in our life. We have an opportunity every day to take what he's told us and to throw it away and forge ahead with our own plans. And so we see that in his life. He begins to worship other gods. He builds two huge altars, two golden calves, reminiscent of what they did with Moses in the desert. And they begin to worship these gods, these false gods. And just opening the door a little bit for something to sneak in. Christian, let me tell you this morning, we give an inch, the devil will take a mile. Amen? We must be careful going back even to the influencers. And there's another passage in this story where Jeroboam is consulting with his advisors, the young advisors, the advisors who don't give anything. They don't care about God. And once again, we see the influence, the ill influence of the unrighteous begin to penetrate his heart. And because of that, wayward action follows. We have to be careful who influence us. And the decision, even stemming back from Solomon, begins to ripple down. And the effect is clear, that when we allow unrighteousness into our hearts, when we allow even just a wayward moment in our lives, we can so easily get taken off track. We can so easily allow the winds of everything around us to grab our sails and lead us in a direction that we don't want to go. There's a moment in this story where a character has a ripple effect And that's not just on a personal level, but certainly starting there. A ripple effect that started probably in Solomon's heart that ended up coming down and affecting the house of Judah and the house of Israel for hundreds of years. And I don't know if you've read the story yet. Pastor's going to pick up next week with Ahab and Elijah and those kings there. But kind of as the big picture here, we end up seeing that Israel and Judah are away from God for years. For years, king after king comes in and ends up just not staying. There is nothing really holy. A couple kings kind of have a heart for God. We saw in the video, Asa has a heart for God. But, man, it's like one good one would come up, but immediately after them, a worse one would come. And so there's just king after king. And now there's two kings. And so the genealogies are going like crazy. And so you see a wicked king, another wicked king, maybe one king who kind of just tolerates God. But then the next one is even worse. And so it ends up that both kingdoms, both Judah and Israel, after years of turning away from God and worshiping false idols, end up both get taken into captivity. And our churn from God will always, 10 out of 10, 100% of the time, end up in a spiritual captivity in our lives. When we turn away and we say, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing for a little bit. God, I've got this right now. I'm in control of my life. Everything seems to be going okay right now. I think I've got everything under control. At the end of the day, it's going to end up our own captivity as we turned away. Amen? You still with me this morning? Amen. And so we see these kings as they are going throughout history, and it's really not a good thing. And the kind of the peak of it is Ahab. And he, the Bible describes, is the worst one of all. You know it's bad when the book of 1 Kings calls you the worst one of all, okay? I don't know what you're doing, but you're some pretty messed up stuff, okay? If you're following a bunch of bad guys, but you end up being called the worst one, it's like if you're the youngest child. Okay, I don't know if any parents in here have, like, the younger, that is the worst one of all. That kid can do anything he wants. He's like a terrible, like, I don't know, he terrorizes me and mom all night or whatever, you know. It's just the terrible, the worst one of all. And so it causes God and moves God to do something, and that's when he begins to call out the prophets in this history. And so we begin to see that, and Pastor's going to paint a little bit of a bigger picture for that next week. But this morning, some of you may be in a position where you have a decision weighing on your heart. You have a decision weighing on your life. And you know that this can be a moment that will affect the rest of your movie, the rest of the scenes. This is going to be an important decision that will follow you, that ripple effects will follow. Whether good or bad, there is still going to be that moment of decision where whether good or bad, something is going to come of it. Something will last. Something is going to become fruit, whether good fruit or bad fruit. Are any of you there at this moment where you just have decisions coming up that are going to make or break you? That's going to be either live or die, or, you know, rich or poor, or like just destitute or prosperous. There's going to be a decision that you can either live off of or will end up hurting you in the long run. And I was feeling last night that there are so many families here this morning who are kind of in that position where this decision coming up will make or break you. And I just believe so fervently in the power of prayer. I believe so fervently in the power of unity and of the corporate body and the bride of Christ just standing up for its members. And so I want to agree with you this morning about that. I want to agree with you with just a whole heart, a faithful heart, just something ready and expecting God to move. I want to agree with us this morning in just a profound way that this will make you, that God is with you, that God is faithful, that his grace is pursuing our lives. And so if you could just bow your heads with me all across this room.